morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Good morning, witches. It is September 20th, 2021. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. I am finally back in New Orleans. Yay. Oh my gosh. Let me tell you, here's the thing. I know I'm not the only one who has been through this. I know we're not the only ones who have been through this, but until you've been through it, you don't fully understand. And one of my roommates, she's actually my neighbor. We just call each other roommates. She lives in up north, somewhere up north. And she, you know, she went through all of this with me, you know, and she went back home. And she was just like, people have just no idea and they don't care. And she just feels like she went through this event and she is just like, they don't care about that. They just don't care about people down there. And it was just really eye-opening for her, just the experience. And of course, that's not to say everyone who doesn't live here doesn't understand. It's just saying that, like, there are people who don't, and it can be a little, it can be not shocking, but disheartening, I guess, when you're still going through the motions and everyone's moved on, but like you're not moved on. But yeah, let me tell you what it's been like being back. So as you know, we left for 5 days, we came back to drop off supplies, and then we left again for 2 weeks. Let me tell you, coming back was a lot more difficult than I thought. First of all, everything still looked the same. Like, trees were still on the road, and, like, it wasn't as cleaned up as I thought it would be by the time we got back. But also getting caught up with work. You know, you're 2 weeks behind work, and your house sits in the heat, Louisiana heat, with no AC for 2 weeks. So it's like any grime at all, just like is exponentially grimier. And like yesterday, I've never done this before, but I literally just did the scrub brush with bleach in my bathroom. Cause I was like, I just want to feel clean. So, trying to get the house back in order. And of course, it's a wreck because you were grabbing everything as fast as you could to leave. We came back in the dark to cook for people. And then now I'm back with like all of my stuff, and it's just trying to get the house in order. And, so again, it's just feeling perpetually behind. I think one of the weirdest things was like, I was home and I realized I can't have anything, I can't even have a cup of coffee until I do a grocery store run, And that was like, oh my gosh, like, it's just, yeah, it was just a lot the first week. But I'm getting caught up slowly but surely. Thank you everyone for your patience on everything. But I'm getting caught up slowly but surely. My house is getting in order slowly but surely. And then I started a class mid last week, and I was like, this is the worst time for this. But yeah, it was just that feeling of I'm doing as much as I can, as fast as I can, and I'm doing stuff I need to do. But even while I'm doing it, I feel like I'm neglecting other stuff that needs to get done. It's like everything is the same priority, and it's just, oof, yeah. So I'm happy I'm back. I want to thank everyone so much who has been just patient and cool and who donated to supplies for us to bring back. Like, oh my gosh. So yeah, I'm home and things are back to normal. So yay. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to get postcards out. Journals are going out. cheese going out as fast as I humanly can. The postcards are taking a second because the postcards actually got here a day before I got back. But they're taking a second because I had to find envelopes to fit them. And I kept going to all of the office supply stores near here, but they're all half running with like half of the supplies and I couldn't find envelopes, so I had to order them. And now they're coming. So it's happening. It's happening. It's just all taking longer. And then of course there's a few different mail routes in and out that are delayed because of everything. So, you know, we're all just doing our best. So yeah. Let's get going. Today's episode is brought to you by Teddy Learns About Witches. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is from the Busy Witches Planner. Even a happy life cannot be without a measure of darkness. And the word happy would lose its meaning if it were not balanced by sadness. It is far better to take things as they come along with patience and equanimity. By Carl Jung. So we are moving back into tea. And we have all of our tea stuff figured out for the next few weeks. I do want to remind you, seance tea, the black tea with blue cornflour, cacao nibs, and chocolate chips are on our website, Witch Daily Show. But for this week, we are going to talk about teas that are featured in the Busy Witches Planner. So how this is set up is every single month, you are given 9 new things to try in the planner. So it can be crystals, card spreads, spells, spirit work, self-care, herbs, and tea. So one of the teas we share in the planner is gunpowder green tea, which we've talked about before. So from the Guangdong province of China, gunpowder tea is made up of leaves hand-rolled into tiny pellets, mixed with peppermint to create a Moroccan mint tea. So yeah, fun new teas to try. So if you do get the planner, each month you're given 9 new things to just try. I think one of them, and of course, so I can get a little cheeky when left to my own devices, and sometimes I have to roll it in because not everyone like gets my humor. But there was one, I think it was self-care. I don't remember which month it was, but it was just like, hey, go buy some cake and eat it with your hands. Screw everyone else. They can't tell you what to do. And like, if that's not the truest thing of self-care ever, right? Like, I want sugar flour in my face and I want to eat it with my hands and I don't care what you think about it. Like, so it has fun stuff like that. Definitely like check it out if you're into it. But moving into some headlines, this comes to us from TheScotsman.com. Hidden gay histories of national collection treasures revealed in Scottish Trail. So, who was this written by? Allison Campsey. A guide to the LGBTQIA+ histories of a number of objects which span hundreds of years have been illuminated in a new guide and trail at National Museum of Scotland. The objects include a stained glass window that commemorates James King VI and his quote-unquote favorite, George Villiers, the Duke of Birmingham, and a 17th century iron collar from Fife. The collar was used as an instrument of torture around the same time. One woman was accused of being a lesbian with authorities when treating the case as one of witchcraft. So this is a really interesting collection. It's really showing various LGBTQ+ artifacts. And even ones that relate to witchcraft. Because as you know, if you went against the church in any way, I have a whole class on this about like the history of religion in regards to witchcraft and all of that. But basically, if you went against quote unquote the church for any reason, in any way, they would just like throw a witch title on you and kill you. And as you can guess, especially times when the Catholic or the Romans were doing their whole thing, that is when gender roles became like really, really a thing like we know it today, in terms of women were weaker. And there's actually a huge history on like even the documents that like said women are weaker for the first time, and it was really wild. But if you went against the church's gender roles during that time, they would throw a witch on you and you would be like murdered, you know? So it's really fascinating. But there's a lot of these artifacts. I have a link in the podcast description. They have photos. So they have photos of these collars and vases depicting like bisexual heroes. It's just really cool. So definitely check it out. Some cool photos. And I have a link for you in the description. All right, witches. I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And then after this break, we will talk more. Hi, witches. I'm so excited to share with you a new book, Tutty Learns About Witches. This is a children's book for ages 4 to 8, for children to learn about witches in their lives. Tutty does not know everything about her dear Aunt Alice. Tutty is a child who visits her aunt only to discover that she is a witch. So here's the thing. You can get it on Amazon in paperback, or you can download it for free at tuttytheseries.com. It is free to anyone who wants to download it, and it is on Amazon if you want to get the paperback or Kindle version. So check it out. It's great for kids in our lives. It was written by myself and illustrated by Paisy Keo.
Hello to all of my astro gods and goddesses. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, September 20th. Before I begin, I just want to acknowledge that this makes a year and 200 moonscopes that I've shared with my friends. I wanted to take a minute to thank Tanya for having me on her podcast, the Glam Witch for introducing me to Tanya, and most of all, my partner in love and life for being an amazing cheerleader and producer for my segment. But also, for everyone listening, for giving me this opportunity to share my love of astrology with you. And now, on to the forecast. The full moon reaches its peak light today in Pisces. Here, the moon conjuncts Neptune and opposes the sun. The sun-Neptune opposition has made it difficult to see ourselves clearly. The sun in Virgo is usually pretty discerning, but its ruler, Mercury, is currently in Libra, so we may be tempted to only see ourselves in the best light or only pay attention to the best parts of ourselves. It's okay to take the time to appreciate all of your better qualities, and if you've been needing that in your life, you should definitely take advantage. But don't let it all go to your head, especially if someone is trying to assist you with self-improvement. We all have room to grow, and we should be able to take the constructive criticism that will allow that growth. Your daily moon mantra is, criticism fulfills the same function as pain.
Right, so we have a question from one of our listeners.
It calls attention.
This comes to us from listener Maria. Maria says, "Hello, I've been listening to the podcast for a while and I love it, and I wanted to ask for advice. I was born a witch but raised as Catholic, so I never had any input as a child from an adult. I know my youngest is quite like me. She is the one who has given me the confidence to practice more openly. We meditate, we ground. She has helped me protecting, cleansing the house, and with a healing spell. But she was shocked the other day when I told her we were witches. She's 5, so not sure what she thinks a witch is. I grew up playing and getting advice from my grandma, who died shortly after I was born. She used to visit me only daily. I made a lot of mistakes as I had very little guidance. I'm sure my daughter can see ghosts and feel things. I wasn't much older than her when I discovered that I could manifest, and I always struggled with my dreams as some of them became true. I grew up feeling very different and isolated. I want to support her and get it right. How can I keep her safe? What rules do you teach your children? How do you assess what their abilities are? Thank you. Oh, Maria. Okay. So I actually did a few episodes with my mother for Mother's Day this year. So it's around there. But we actually talk about this. So she's only five, right? Five-year-olds, as much as Scientology would disagree, five-year-olds' brains and adult brains are not the same, right? They're not going to perceive things the same. They're not going to understand things the same. So you want to give child or age-appropriate answers. And how I've always navigated this, and I know my mom has as well, is you don't answer more than what they're asking. And you don't give more information than what they're asking. So where do babies come from, right? This is where we can go, oh shoot, do we start talking about anatomy? No, all they're asking is where babies come from. Babies come from bellies, right? Or, I mean, you know, like you can answer it, only answer what they're asking. And then if they continue to ask more in-depth questions, well, how does the baby get into the belly? Like, then you answer that question, but you don't give more information than exactly what they're asking. So being five, she's only five, being 5 years old, you probably don't want to overwhelm her with a lot of this information because, one, she's a child. Her brain is not going to register it the same way ours do. And almost all of child media has a lot of the things you're telling her is scary, right? So that's my advice. Just kind of go with the flow. Just have a good time. You don't have to label everything or make everything super serious and daunting. Obviously, it seems like she's rocking, right? Let her rock on. If she asks a question, answer it, and then like that's what I would do. But also, I preface this. I do not have children. I love, right? People who don't have children love to give parenting advice. But you asked, right? So this is not unsolicited. You did ask, but I do like to preface, I don't have children. I am pulling this from just my experience around kids. I adore children. I love spending time with children. And I spent a lot of my psych schooling, taking a lot of child classes because I am a big advocate for children. So I'm not a parent, but I do care a lot. So let's see some of the other answers. Okay. Michelle says, let her take the lead. Pay attention to her interests and listen closely to the things she tells you. You don't need to assess her abilities. This really stuck out for me in your post. It seems like very institutionalized thinking. She needs to be allowed to explore and develop a relationship with her own skill and sovereignty without you trying to figure her out. That being said, that's where I would begin. Teach her how to communicate with her body and teach her that her sovereignty has power. Then you must do what is difficult for a lot of parents, and that is to respect that sovereignty and power so that she can learn to rely on it. You must raise her as if she is her own free person, not an extension of herself, of yourself. Assist her in exercising those things by following her lead. I agree 100%. I mean, like you said, she has given you a lot of confidence to embrace your own witchiness, which could, I'm not saying it is, but it could lead to you, again, feeling like she is an extension of you, and now you're probably really excited and this and that, and she's just a child, you know? I don't know what you need, I don't know really what you would need to keep her safe from. Michelle says, yeah, I definitely think that you need to do a lot of work for yourself in terms of overcoming maybe a lot of the religious trauma you grew up with. Not saying you had any, it's just kind of sounding like it a little bit. And kind of just let her be her own cool person. Kelly says, I'm not a mother, But Witch Way Magazine, hey, has a column about raising witchlings. I check it out if you can. Yes, for the past 2 or 3 years, we have a column every single month on raising little witchlings. It has fun activities you can do, ways to talk to your children about certain things and things like that. It is written by an actual mother, not myself, so that probably helps. Nicole says, I find that having an open, honest communication without oversharing is a great start. We also talk a lot about things like privacy and boundaries, mundane means, equality, social justice as it relates to magic and their lives. Teach age-appropriate little lessons. Yeah. Which, again, check out Raising Little Witchlings in Witch Way Magazine, because I think that could help a lot. All right, so I don't know if this is a question or a thing, but let's see. This comes to us from listener Vanessa. Vanessa says, hello, friends. First, I want to thank you for adding me here. I started listening to the podcast last Monday. Oh my gosh, so you're brand new. Vanessa, you're new. And I don't know if I am a natural born witch, but I've always held witches close to my heart since I was young. I have been fascinated by them. I feel in my heart I have this calling, but I'm here to ask if you have any suggestions for beginners like me, any tips or advice. I'm open to all. Thank you, Vanessa. I love this question. One, it's going to be the most asked question ever, but I love answering it. My biggest tips have always been pay attention to what got you into witchcraft in the first place. Was it a movie, a TV show? What in that TV show or movie made you think, oh, this is interesting? Even though media and Hollywood really hype up and like it's not super realistic, there's some truth to everything. Even I'm not a Harry Potter person, but I know a lot of people are, especially millennials, love Harry Potter. I'm a millennial, but like I think I already mentioned this before. I was just already into much darker things, and Harry Potter just didn't quench a thirst for me. But even in Harry Potter, like there's something real you can pull out of that. So try to pinpoint when you first got interested in magic and try to pinpoint what it was you liked about it and go from there. Was it the fortune teller on a corner? Then maybe you're into divination. Was it making potions? Maybe you're an herbal green witch. You know what I'm saying. That's a great place to start. Also, I would ask yourself, what do you not like? What have you seen that you don't like, that you've seen other witches do? For me, I'm not really into big, elaborate ceremonies. It's just not for me. It's not my jam. So I avoid ceremonial magic and things like that. While I respect them and I see their value, I also respect them enough to know it's not for everyone and it's not for me. And the next thing I would do is read a lot. Read books. Everyone has different ideas and perspectives and ways to approach things. And you can hear the same advice 5 times, but someone else writes it a little differently. And suddenly it's like an epiphany. Read a lot. Even read about things you don't know if you're super interested in, because knowledge is power. And I'm not super into crystals, but I read a lot and I know enough about crystals to help other people about crystals, even if it's not for me. So read a lot, pinpoint what excited you to begin with, and also pinpoint what you don't like, and go from there. So let's see what others say. Nuke says, read everything you can. Never be afraid to ask questions and remind yourself you're never too new to start doing magic. Oh, yeah, that's sweet. Also, let me piggyback off of that. Avoid groups that make you feel bad about yourself. There are a lot, especially Facebook groups and other groups, Witch Talk. Like, there's a lot of social media where people who, like, and let's be honest, just got into witchcraft like 6 months ago, and now suddenly they're like the hot cheese, and you don't know that? Like, they want to make people feel bad. If you ever feel like anyone's making you feel bad, avoid that group, avoid that person. You can find people who are going to nurture your wanting to learn and who aren't going to be butts about it, okay? Randy says, anytime an individual says where to start, I always suggest what you are attracted to and start from there. Yes, I agree. Read, research, podcasts, online sources, communities. Start there and your intuition will naturally pull you to where you need to go. And I agree. Also, this is just my nerd brain, but like primary sources, don't always use secondary sources. A great example, like my big rant, is shadow work. A lot of people get their information about shadow work from witch books, which are secondary sources. Shadow work is a psychological thing. Read the psychological stuff on it, not the witch stuff on it, because it hasn't been filtered through like a bunch of different opinions and agendas and perspectives. Just a whatever. Elise says, check out Tanya's book, The Door to Witchcraft. It's an awesome book. Thank you. Oh my gosh. I did put a lot of work into it. I fought for a lot of stuff in that book too, you guys. All right, Nick says, something that I found really helpful personally was figuring out what made me feel energized and what made me feel calm and collected. That's a great suggestion, especially for when you start doing like spell work and ritual work. You want to know what feeds your power, right? So one thing I also like to do is anytime I feel powerful, like, and we all know what I'm talking about, right? Like something hits you in just the right moment and you feel a surge of energy and power, write down what's going on. What time is it? What is your state? What's the atmosphere like? What's the aesthetic in the room like? What are you wearing? And if you keep track of these patterns, you'll notice what variables lead to you feeling powerful, and then you can use those variables when you need to do spell work, and that's also a great idea. Nicole says, Tanya wrote a book, The Door to Witchcraft, is based on historical knowledge, which I love for new witches. Thank you. That's another example of primary versus secondary. When I wrote the history section on my book, I did not use information from other witches. I use information from historical college professors, and that's how you get like good, accurate information. She says, I use a couple of quotes from it in a beginning lecture for new students. Also have fun with it. Witchcraft is supposed to add something fun and a bit exciting to your spiritual path, so make sure you enjoy it. And also, here's the thing too, is like, don't be afraid of being wrong either. Like, there's stuff I wrote in my book only a few years ago that if I wrote it now, maybe I would change a little bit. And it's not because it was wrong. It's because I've learned more. We want to continuously evolve and change and grow. And the only way to do that is to be okay with being wrong before, right? You need to be a conduit to explore. And yeah, there's definitely things that I've told people that I'm like, looking back, I was like, oh, I did a little bit more research on that. And it turns out that was a fallacy, or that was a myth, or that was a whatever. And then I learn the actual information, and then you start doing that. So never worry if someone says, hey, but 3 years ago you said this. And it's like, well, yeah, that was 3 years ago. I changed, I learned, I evolved. Now I'm saying this to help you learn, change, and evolve as well. So never be afraid of being wrong. I know that we're currently in a weird culture moment where everyone's so afraid of being wrong because, like, for some reason we think that people don't have the ability to change, grow, and evolve. So hopefully that changes. But yeah, don't be afraid of being wrong. And if someone makes you feel bad about being wrong, listen, obviously people tell you you're wrong to educate you. So don't get defensive. But if they make you feel bad about it, then like find other people. All right, witches, we're running out of time. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. So I do want to give a shout out to listener Elaine Gonzalez. Elaine, you talented luminous dragon. I also want to give a shout out to listener Jess Jensen. Jess, you hospitable esoteric sun goddess. And then finally, I want to give a shout out to listener Amanda Wilson. Amanda, you esoteric sweet kitten. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. I'm so behind on you guys with everything, but I put it in my calendar to get caught up, so watch out. And before we leave, we do have a card pull today. The card is the Black Cat from the Seasons of the Witch Samhain Oracle. The Black Cat is all about independence, survival, and grace. And let's see what we have to say about him. Hello, cat with 9 lives. Cats are graceful creatures rivaling the snobbiest of humans. They are fiercely independent and value their time and space above all things. They are aloof, yet love affection, and they put their health and well-being above all other things. Cats are also mysterious. They are the symbols of empowerment and setting boundaries, two qualities every witch needs to be successful in her craft. No wonder cats are a favorite among witches' familiars. When the black cat comes purring into your reading, you are being asked to find your independence. Grab some me time so that you can find your footing again. It is easy to get lost in the chaos when you have a lot going on. Taking a step back to see the bigger picture is the best way to get some fresh ideas about where to go next, how to solve a problem, or how to get out of a funk. Remember, me time doesn't have to be dramatic. Having a 20-minute coffee break at your local coffee shop can be just as rewarding as an all-day staycation. When it comes to me time, choose quality over quantity always. Black Cat asks you to learn the power of saying no. We all have to set boundaries and rules. We cannot expect others to know what is okay or not okay without some guidance. Nor can we expect others to know when we've had too much on our plates. It is okay to say no. This isn't a selfish act, and it doesn't mean you don't care. It is a sign of self-respect and will help in the long term those in your immediate circle. You cannot give what you do not have. All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. It was a long one. I got soapboxy. You know how it goes. Any books, links, decks, blah blahs that I've mentioned today can be found in the podcast episode description. Hope you have a great day, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.